Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. Today, we're blessed enough to have Susan. And one of the things we're going to talk about with Susan is her blog, her radio show. I shouldn't say blog talk yet because I'm not quite sure. But her radio show that has a unique title, Conversations That Heal. And I think I've heard of that before. So let me bring Susan on, and then we'll take it away from there. Welcome, Susan, to Women of Wisdom.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on your show.
And my first question is, why did
I started this? Because there are 43 million adult survivors of child abuse in this country, and there's so much shame and isolation, and the survivors don't know that what they're feeling is normal. They have been trained by their abuser to believe that they are the ones that are abnormal. And because there's so much shame around it, and the very act of being abused, isolation is part of that setup. For the control and the power for the abuser to hold over their victim. This was a mean for me to let people know that they are perfectly normal for the abnormal event. So that's really what started all of this.
Oh my. So my question is to you, and I hate to bring this up, do you have a history in your own family of child abuse and of hiding it?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I started my healing journey back in 1998, and this whole process of coming out, if you will, has been part of my journey, and hiding has also been part of my healing, you know, to come out of the hiding. So to answer your question directly, yes, I am a survivor of child abuse. And my abusers were my father and my paternal grandmother, which would be his mother. And my first memory is like 3, and my last is like 18, when I graduated from high school and left that house as fast as I could. And it's a very long history. Yeah, it's a very long.
It went on for several years. And also, the reason why I find it fitting that we're talking about this subject today, I don't know if my listeners know, but for those of you who've watched the news lately and heard about 18 kids and counting, and what they're going through, I wanted to ask Susan, now that we've brought this up, how she feels about all this. Because I know that family hid it for so many years, that their son was doing nasty stuff to his own sister and I believe a babysitter, which is, which breaks my heart. And then they didn't tell the authorities and they didn't tell TLC either. And for years, this show went on and on. So how do you feel about that as a survivor, Susan? Do you think they handled it correctly, or do you think no?
Well, I've learned not to, it's very, it's a human characteristic to judge other people. And I am learning and to not just step away from that as much as I can. So I don't know these people. I don't. You knew more about it than I did. So I'm not in a place to judge them. But what I will tell you is, for them to hide it all those years, and for the actual act to have occurred, there's a lot more to the story than what is being let on. One thing I talk about in my book, How to Love Yourself, The Hope After Child Abuse, the thing is that if you look at a brand new baby who's been born, you know, that baby doesn't instinctively want to go out and inflict pain on another human being or become a racist or some of the other things that that human beings choose out of free will. And so this whole idea of going on and abusing, like, well, I think like the oldest son was abusing the sisters, you know, had to have learned that somewhere. So it is impossible for him not to have had some experience with it, because you just don't know and even think about that you're going to do that unless you have had some experience with it. Or I'll go out on a limb, maybe if you're like, you know, really are like a sociopath or something like that. You know, that's a very small percent. The percent of him being a victim himself far outweighs the percent of him not.
I like the way you put that. It far outweighs the counterbalance of what he did as to being a victim himself. And now I want to talk about, on a lighter note, conversations that heal. I want to go into more detail and give you the time to talk about conversations that heal. And first of all, is it a blog talk radio show, or what platform are you using to
it is
to do conversations at Hill?
It is a blog talk. And I believe, like your show, it's on iTunes and Stitcher.
I know for a fact it's on iTunes. I'm not sure about Stitcher, though. I know for a fact that blog talk feeds go on iTunes, and then people can subscribe to them. I'm not sure about Stitcher. Now you have to. Now I have to do my own research, because you just opened up a can of worms that I don't know the answer to. But I want to talk about conversations that heal. And I want to have you talk about the concept and why you started that show.
Thank you for giving me this platform, because it's not something that I talk about a lot. You know, when I'm doing my show, I'm really focusing on my guest and the information they can bring to serve my listeners. And actually the title of the show came to me one day because I was sitting in my office and I had a weekend to name the show. And I don't know about you, but naming a show or naming a business or anything like that, naming a book, there's a lot of energy and effort that goes into that. Was that your experience when you were naming your radio show?
I have to tell you a funny story. Well, it's not a funny story, but when I started coming up with this concept, I actually asked a higher power because I was backed into a corner. When I published my book, people started asking me how you do this. How do you run a successful art company at the time, and how do you do this, all that you do with a disability? So I actually asked a higher power at the time for help, and it was actually via bedside, via my mom, who passed away from meningitis, and I actually asked the higher power through all this to help me come up with eventually what would turn into Women of Wisdom. So that was my story behind Women of Wisdom, and that was, today's the first day I've admitted that publicly, that...
But-
That
That's really funny.
Happened where I had to back myself into a corner to get my story out.
That's really funny because that's the history for you, because mine is extremely similar. Because, you know, I was sitting in my office and I didn't know what I was going to name the show. And it was like, you know, you say a higher power, I say God. It's like God came down through my head, out my fingers, and there was Conversations That Heal. And that was the end of it. And it's, you know, it's an incredible, I mean, I love the title. It couldn't be more fitting. And what's interesting about it is, like I've shared, you know, as a survivor of child abuse, that was the launching point for it. And then I realized the people were listening to it were adult children of alcoholics, or, you know, other people were listening to it. And so it went into childhood trauma. And I mean, because we all suffer trauma, have had some sort of trauma on some level in our lives. And what is really important for me, because just going through my whole healing process, I just so desperately want people to know that there are other ways to think, feel, and act than what you've grown comfortable with. And you can't replace what you're comfortable with unless you know what you're going to replace it with. And so that's why I have Conversations That Heal, to bring on guests of all ranges to bring in new ways for people to think, feel, and act.
Amazing that you're trying to teach people how to change their psyche. And yet you have to change your psyche as a survivor of child abuse. Oh, my God. You have to change your psyche as to say, I'm not going to do this. I am not going to do this. And that leads me to my next question. How many years did it take you to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to break this cycle?
You know, to tell you the truth, I think that that question is a daily occurrence, because, you know, it's not because the truth is that when you've had trauma, and of course the more often it's repeated, the harder it is to break that cycle. And it just reminds me of, I look back at my children and the history of the abuse in my particular family. Like I was saying earlier about the TV show, the 19 kids that we were talking about, there is generational trauma in my family, as is there in probably millions of others. And what really motivates me and keeps me going is that I look at my children, and while they've been directly involved in my healing process, and I'm not going to lie, it's been hard on them. It's been very hard on them. I'm breaking the cycle. So my children, while they've witnessed and felt the consequences from, I want to make myself really clear here. When I say that, I mean they have been involved in my living with me during my flashbacks, with me during my depression when I couldn't even get up because I was so depressed. Because I don't want to imply that I ever did anything to them, because I haven't, and I wouldn't. And so I want to make that really clear. I don't want anyone thinking, I wonder, you know, because there's nothing to wonder about. I've done everything I could to make their lives better, and they are thriving, incredibly gifted young adults now. But as their children grow up and their children grow up, the ramifications of the abuse has been stopped. It stopped with me. And there are so many, the pattern is so long of the cycle being repeated, that at some point someone has to stand up and change the dance, if you will, and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And it wasn't really a conscious thing for me. It wasn't like I woke up one day and said, I was abused and I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to live better anymore. It wasn't like that at all. It was, my life was falling apart, and I knew there was something wrong, and I didn't know what it was. And it took me years. Once I got into therapy, it took me years to acknowledge that this was even my story, which is very common. So I hope that addresses your question. I kind of went off on a tangent a little bit.
That's okay. But what you're saying is it's a daily struggle. It's not like you set out to do this and then you stop it completely.
I won't say that that is true, and I won't use the word struggle, because I always use the word like lesson. Like every day there's a lesson to be learned, and for me, and I just have become, allowed myself to become mindful and aware and grateful for the gifts of that day. And these are things that I've talked about on my show, and these are things that have taken me a long time to bring into my life, on a daily occurrence.
Well, that's amazing. And the fact that you are a survivor, I'm amazed to know that you had that abuse for so long, and then you decided to write a book about it and help other people heal. And how has that impacted you, helping other people heal?
Well, that's an interesting question. How has it impacted me? I'll tell you how it's impacted me. In 2000, I was in a really, really bad place. And when I say that, I mean, I'll even, to be very honest with you all, you know, I was very suicidal and basically hanging on by my nails. And I was in therapy, and my children, I had my children, and actually I was going through a divorce at the time, which was more of a blessing because of the whole situation. But in 2000, I prayed to God, and I said that if he would help me through this, that I would be his messenger and his voice for letting people know that they don't have to get stuck in their abuse and that there is hope. And so fast forward, you know, 14, 15 years, which it seems like it was yesterday that happened, to know that other people are finding relief and some comfort, I look at that as me fulfilling my promise to God, actually.
Well, that's amazing that he didn't let you go and let you, he wanted you to do this journey. Essentially, he wanted you to have the Blog Talk Radio Show and have the empowered life that you have, because he knew that something was going to come out of a bad, something better was going to come out of a bad situation.
I agree with you.
And now, what would you say to people that are stuck in your position, or stuck in your position that you were previously in? Would you say of adult abuse, abusers, would you say get out immediately or call a friend, or how would you rectify the problem for my listeners?
You mean if they, as an adult, are realizing that they were also abused as a child, or
yes,
are dealing with that?
Yes.
Yes? Well,
yes.
The most important thing is to be kind to yourself. And I know that those are three simple words. Be kind to yourself. Four words. And I'm not, you know, I classify this to adult survivors of child abuse, but I really think that it goes to more more people than just that category, because we're so accustomed to living a habit, or perhaps we're accustomed to living our lives as an adult through the lies that have been fed to us as a child. And to be to learn to be kind to yourself is quite possibly, likely, very foreign to someone who isn't familiar with that. Because in those four simple words, you get your self-worth, compassion, trust, boundaries. I mean, there's just a whole lot of stuff wrapped into that, because and that you're deserving of it, which completely counteracts what you've been taught as a child. It just, like for instance, the word entitlement, a therapist said that to me back in, I think, the early 1990s. And that word, and I wasn't seeing this therapist for my history at that time. Although the signs were very present, I didn't know that they were there. And so it didn't come up. And he used the word entitled, and for months I couldn't even remember that word, or the word visible. I couldn't spell that word. I couldn't even spell that word to the point where spell checker could figure out what I was trying to spell, because, you know, that's how foreign those ideas were to me. So, yeah, does that help?
That does help. So, what you're saying is they need to figure out their own situation and get out of their own situation. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, if it's like, if you're thinking like a domestic violence, when you're thinking, like, let's just keep it narrowed and talk about the child abuse stuff. I would say that it's crucial to get help. It's crucial to have a third party, a therapist, a coach, a minister, you know, somebody that is removed from the situation, because they can see the situation clearer than you can, you know. I mean, because they're not in the middle of it. And because your mindset, because you've been so groomed and so terrorized, really, to follow the patterns from your childhood, you're not going to be able to flip a switch and release those. It's not going to happen. It takes a lot of focus, commitment. It takes a lot of work, and it is worth it. It is very worth it. You know, I have to say this. I hope I have time to say this. This is something else that I talked about in my book. You know, when you, by the grace of God, I never turned to drugs or alcohol, even though my dad was an alcoholic and my brother is also an alcoholic. And I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't. And the thing is that when you're an alcoholic or a drug user addicted to drugs, and you do have that option of stopping being an alcoholic or a drug addict, and you have the opportunity to embrace your life and to move on. But when you become suicidal and you decide to end your life and you are successful at it, you'll never know what was waiting for you on the other side, because
and
it's gone.
At that. And I think that is a great way to end it, because you never know what life will bring you. And I want everyone to tune in to Susan's Blog Talk radio show and conversations that here on, presuming that they can Google it. And I want people to tune in and see what Susan has to offer, because Susan is amazing, and her survival story is amazing, and I appreciate Susan being on tonight. And I hope you guys enjoyed and learned from Women of Wisdom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.